Hawthorne ready to leave prison. The Atlanta Georgian, Friday, the 10th of October, 1913, page 8, column 1. Author, unembittered, expected to write about injustices of U.S. penal system. Julian Hawthorne is preparing to leave the Atlanta Federal Prison October 15th, the date of the expiration of his sentence with good time deducted. Hawthorne, whose attitude since his incarceration has generally been one of reserve and reticence, desires to go from the prison without any notice or publicity, and for this reason, the prison officials are maintaining the utmost secrecy as to the exact time of the day that he will leave the grim building which has held him nearly a year. The distinguished author is said not to have been embittered in the least by his experience inside prison walls. He has, however, given deep thought to some of the injustices of America's penal system, and it is expected that much of his writing of the future will be colored by the impressions and the conclusions formed during the period of his imprisonment. He naturally was cast down for a time when the recommendation for his parole was turned down by Attorney General McReynolds, but of late he has been particularly happy and cheerful in the prospect of his early return to freedom. He has been permitted to walk about the prison enclosure as many hours as the prison regulations allow, and he will go forth next Wednesday in unusually good health. Page 8, column 435. Ask new seats on Atlanta bench, 5 to be chosen when appeals court settles. Frank Case and Hill retires. The 5 judges for the municipal court created by the last legislature will be named by the 4 superior court judges just as soon as Judge Ben Hill, now of the Court of Appeals, takes his place on the county bench. Judge Hill will resign from the Court of Appeals immediately after the disposition for the Frank case. These facts became known Friday. Judge George L. Bell, one of the 4 superior court judges who will make the appointments, declared Friday that 35 applicants are in the field for the new judgeships. As only 5 men are to be selected from this number, said Judge Bell, and as all of the applicants are men who no doubt would make good judges, it is obvious that we face rather a hard problem. However, I expect the appointments to be made soon after Judge Hill takes his place on the bench. The appointments will be sent to the governor, who will pass on them and then name a chief judge from the number. Among the prominent applicants for the new judgeships are L.F. McClelland, Judge Edgar H. Orr, and Judge F.M. Powers of the present justice courts, Walter R. Daly, James B. Ridley, Tehathcock, Don K. Johnston, and Eugene Thomas. The new court also require the appointment of a chief marshal and a clerk. John D. Stewart, T.C. Miller, and Clark Lewis are being mentioned for the clerkship. Page 8, column 5. Frank cheerful on date once set for end. Prisoner helps lawyers in fight for new trial. Dorsey works hard. Undisturbed by the thought that if his sentence had not been stayed by the appeal of his attorneys for a new trial, he would sometime during the day pay out his life on the gallows, Leo M. Frank sat in his cell in the tower Friday, lousily and cheerfully engaged in working on a number of details of his greatly involved case. Frank was convicted of murder August 25th. On August 26th, he was sentenced by Judge L.S. Roan to be hanged October 10th. The hearing of his attorney's motion for a new trial was set for October 4th, but the vast amount of work necessary in the preparation of the arguments led to a request by Solicitor Dorsey for more time. A week's delay was granted by Judge Roan, with the understanding that he would extend the time still further it desired. Hearing October 18th, Solicitor Dorsey and his assistant, A.E. Stevens, secluded themselves in Valdosta, where they would be insured against interruptions, and began their review of the 115 reasons for a new trial submitted by the defense. Within a few days, they saw that they could not complete their work by Saturday of this week, and possibly not in time for a hearing on the following Saturday. Another request for more time was granted by Judge Roan. The hearing will take place October 18th in all probability, unless the solicitor is unable to conclude his preparation by that time. In the meantime, Frank's execution set for today has been indefinitely postponed. The prisoner continues to entertain full confidence of ultimate acquittal. His only utterance has been that he was unjustly convicted by a jury that was swayed by influences outside the evidence. Frank aids lawyers. He is taking a most active interest in the movements in his behalf and is himself assisting the attorneys materially along certain lines. He is visited constantly by his relatives and friends, and is maintaining the same optimistic demeanor that has marked his bearing voice since he was first taken to the tower. Frank's council are centering their efforts at present upon an investigation of prejudice and bias which have been alleged against a number of the jurors in the case. They believe they have irrefutable evidence against A.H. Hensley and Marcellus Johanning, and they have depositions indicating bias against two other jurors, which will probably be fled before the hearing on the new trial. A letter received in Atlanta Thursday from Solicitor Dorsey made certain the postponement of arguments for a new trial for Leo M. Frank, which were to have been heard Saturday by Judge Roan. The letter intimated that the solicitor and his assistant, A.E. Stevens, who are now in Valdosta, would not return to this city before next Wednesday or Thursday. Mr. Dorsey requested that Judge Roan be asked to postpone, in addition to the Frank arguments, hearings on five other motions which scheduled for Saturday. This will clean the Sofans, who are now in Valdosta, necessitate his return. Defense doesn't object. The postponement is wholly within the discretion of Judge Roan, and the defense would interpose no objection in all probability, even if it did not entirely suit their wishes. It is understood, however, that Frank's lawyers are satisfied with the delay, as it affords them time to obtain additional evidence of reported bias on the part of A.H. Hensley, Marcellus Johanning, and one or two other Frank jurors. The solicitor, who, with his assistant, A.E. Stevens, has been going over the voluminous amended motion of the defense with its 115 reasons for a new trial since its filing last week by Frank's lawyers, refuses to discuss the case except to express his confidence that a new trial will be denied. He stands firmly by his original declaration that the defense is without adequate grounds to ask for a new trial. Page 10, column 335. Ask new seats on Atlanta bench, five to be chosen when appeals court settles. Frank Case and Hill retires. The five judges for the municipal court created by the last legislature will be named by the four superior court judges just as soon as Judge Ben Hill, now of the Court of Appeals, takes his place on the county bench. Judge Hill will resign from the Court of Appeals immediately after the disposition for the Frank case. These facts became known Friday. Judge George L. Bell, one of the four superior court judges who will make the appointments, declared Friday that 35 applicants are in the field for the new judgeships. As only five men are to be selected from this number, said Judge Bell, and as all of the applicants are men who no doubt would make good judges, it is obvious that we face rather a hard problem. However, I expect the appointments to be made soon after Judge Hill takes his place on the bench. The appointments will be sent to the governor, who will pass on them and then name a chief judge from the number. Among the prominent applicants for the new judgeships are L.F. McClelland, Judge Edgar H. Orr, and Judge F.M. Powers of the present justice courts, Walter R. Daly, James B. Ridley, Tehathcock, Don K. Johnston, and Eugen Thomas. The new court also require the appointment of a chief marshal and a clerk. John D. Stewart, T.C. Miller, and Clark Lewis are being mentioned for the clerkship. Page 12, column 1, postponem ent in Frank case made certain. Letter from Dorsey requests Judge Roan to let arguments go over. A letter received in Atlanta Thursday from Solicitor Dorsey made certain the postponement of arguments for a new trial for Leo M. Frank, which were to have been heard Saturday by Judge Roan. The letter intimated that the solicitor and his assistant, A.E. Stevens, who are now in Valdosta, would not return to this city before next Wednesday or Thursday. Mr. Dorsey requested that Judge Roan be asked to postpone, in addition to the Frank arguments, hearings on five other motions which scheduled for Saturday. This will clean the Sofans, who are now in Valdosta, necessitate his return. Defense doesn't object. The postponement is wholly within the discretion of Judge Roan, and the defense would interpose no objection in all probability, even if it did not entirely suit their wishes. It is understood, however, that Frank's lawyers are satisfied with the delay, as it affords them time to obtain additional evidence of reported bias on the part of A.H. Hensley, Marcellus Johanning, and one or two other Frank jurors. The solicitor, who, with his assistant, A.E. Stevens, has been going over the voluminous amended motion of the defense with its 115 reasons for a new trial since its filing last week by Frank's lawyers, refuses to discuss the case except to express his confidence that a new trial will be denied. He stands firmly by his original declaration that the defense is without adequate grounds to ask for a new trial. He and Attorney Stevens, isolating themselves in Valdosta, where they will not be interrupted by office visitors, have given their entire time to the preparation of their argument against any movement which will reopen the sensational murder case. While the hearing before Judge Rond, set originally for October 4th, will have few of the spectacular features that marked the trial of Frank, the lawyers are making ready for a titanic struggle. Dorsey is determined. The solicitor is determined that the verdict of guilty shall stand. He is using every means to stave off what he regards as the remote possibility of reversal of the verdict that brought the death sentence to the defendant. Solicitor Dorsey prepared his request Wednesday for a delay of another week in the hearing. Judge Rohn already had made known his willingness to extend the time if it was needed by the solicitor. When he learned that Dorsey would not be ready next Saturday, he promptly announced that the delay would be granted in accordance with his promise. While the solicitor is busily engaged reviewing the reasons of the defense, Frank's lawyers are seeking more witnesses who are said to have heard Hensley and other jurors make remarks before the trial indicating their violent prejudice. Page 14, Column 2. Hawthorne ready to leave prison. Author unembittered, expected to write about injustices of U.S. penal system. Julian Hawthorne is preparing to leave the Atlanta Federal Prison October 15th, the date of the expiration of his sentence with good time deducted. Hawthorne, whose attitude since his incarceration has generally been one of reserve and reticence, desires to go from the prison without any notice or publicity, and for this reason, the prison officials are maintaining the utmost secrecy as to the exact time of the day that he will leave the grim building which has held him nearly a year. The distinguished author is said not to have been embittered in the least by his experience inside prison walls. He has, however, given deep thought to some of the injustices of America's penal system, and it is expected that much of his writing of the future will be colored by the impressions and the conclusions formed during the period of his imprisonment. He naturally was cast down for a time when the recommendation for his parole was turned down by Attorney General McReynolds, but of late he has been particularly happy and cheerful in the prospect of his early return to freedom. He has been permitted to walk about the prison enclosure as many hours as the prison regulations allow, and he will go forth next Wednesday in unusually good health. Page 14, Column 6. Frank cheerful on date once set for end. Prisoner helps lawyers in fight for new trial. Dorsey works hard. Undisturbed by the thought that if his sentence had not been stayed by the appeal of his attorneys for a new trial, he would sometime during the day pay out his life on the gallows, Leo M. Frank sat in his cell in the tower Friday, lousily and cheerfully engaged in working on a number of details of his greatly involved case. Frank was convicted of murder August 25th. On August 26th, he was sentenced by Judge L.S. Rohn to be hanged October 10th. The hearing of his attorney's motion for a new trial was set for October 4th, but the vast amount of work necessary in the preparation of the arguments led to a request by Solicitor Dorsey for more time. A week's delay was granted by Judge Rohn, with the understanding that he would extend the time still further it desired. Hearing October 18th, Solicitor Dorsey and his assistant, A.E. Stevens, secluded themselves in Valdosta, where they would be insured against interruptions, and began their review of the 115 reasons for a new trial submitted by the defense. Within a few days, they saw that they could not complete their work by Saturday of this week, and possibly not in time for a hearing on the following Saturday. Another request for more time was granted by Judge Rohn. The hearing will take place October 18th, in all probability, unless the solicitor is unable to conclude his preparation by that time. In the meantime, Frank's execution set for today has been indefinitely postponed. The prisoner continues to entertain full confidence of ultimate acquittal. His only utterance has been that he was unjustly convicted by a jury that was swayed by influences outside the evidence. Frank aids lawyers. He is taking a most active interest in the movements in his behalf and is himself assisting the attorneys materially along certain lines. He is visited constantly by his relatives and friends, and is maintaining the same optimistic demeanor that has marked his bearing voice since he was first taken to the tower. Frank's counsel are centering their efforts at present upon an investigation of prejudice and bias which have been alleged against a number of the jurors in the case. They believe they have irrefutable evidence against A.H. Hensley and Marcellus Johanning, and they have depositions indicating bias against two other jurors, which will probably be fled before the hearing on the new trial. A letter received in Atlanta Thursday from Solicitor Dorsey made certain the postponement of arguments for a new trial for Leo M. Frank, which were to have been heard Saturday by Judge Roan. The letter intimated that the solicitor and his assistant, A.E. Stevens, who are now in Valdosta, would not return to this city before next Wednesday or Thursday. Mr. Dorsey requested that Judge Roan be asked to postpone, in addition to the Frank arguments, hearings on five other motions which scheduled for Saturday. This will clean the Sofins, who are now in Valdosta, necessitate his return. Defense doesn't object. The postponement is wholly within the discretion of Judge Roan, and the defense would interpose no objection in all probability, even if it did not entirely suit their wishes. It is understood, however, that Frank's lawyers are satisfied with the delay, as it affords them time to obtain additional evidence of reported bias on the part of A.H. Hensley, Marcellus Johanning, and one or two other Frank jurors. The solicitor, who, with his assistant A.E. Stevens, has been going over the voluminous amended motion of the defense with its 115 reasons for a new trial since its filling last week by Frank's lawyers, refuses to discuss the case except to express his confidence that a new trial will be denied. He stands firmly by his original declaration that the defense is without adequate grounds to ask for a new trial. Page 15, Column 1, Frank Lawyers to File More Deposition, S. Another juror may be charged with bias, accused cheerful, aiding counsel. Counsel for Leo M. Frank made ready Friday to file further depositions to support their arguments for a new trial, which will be made Saturday, October 18th, before Judge L.S. Roan. It is understood the name of at least one more juror, in no to A.H. Hensley and Marcellus Johanning, will be mentioned in the affidavits as guilty or prejudice. Frank's lawyers say they have uncovered what they regard as practically conclusive evidence of violent dislike and bias on the part of a third juror. Several depositions are expected to be filed respecting this juror. Others have been obtained to strengthen the charge of prejudice on the part of Hensley and Johanning. Still others bear on the demonstrations that took place inside and outside the courtroom during the trial, by which, the defense alleges, the members of the jury might have been intimidated. Frank is cheerful, undisturbed by the thought that if his sentence had not been stayed by the appeal of his attorneys for a new trial, he would, sometime during the day, pay out his life on the gallows. Frank sat in his cell in the tower Friday, busily and cheerfully engaged in working on a number of the details of his greatly involved case. Frank was convicted of murder August 25th. On August 26th, he was sentenced by Judge L.S. Roan to be hanged October 10th. The hearing of his attorney's motion for a new trial was set for October 4th, but the vast amount of work necessary in the preparation of the arguments led to a request by Solicitor Dorsey for more time. A week's delay was granted by Judge Roan, with the understanding that he would extend the time still farther it desired. Hearing October 18th. Solicitor Dorsey and his assistant, A.E. Stevens, secluded themselves in Valdosta, where they would be insured against interruptions, and began their review of the 115 reasons for a new trial submitted by the defense. Within a few days, they saw that they could not complete their work by Saturday of this week, and possibly not in time for a hearing on the following Saturday. Another request for more time was granted by Judge Roan. The hearing will take place October 18th in all probability, unless the solicitor is unable to conclude his preparation by that time. In the meantime, Frank's execution set for today has been indefinitely postponed. The prisoner continues to entertain full confidence of ultimate acquittal. His only utterance has been that he was unjustly convicted by a jury that was swayed by influences outside the evidence. Frank aids lawyers. He is taking a most active interest in the movements in his behalf and is himself assisting the attorneys materially along certain lines. He is visited constantly by his relatives and friends and is maintaining the same optimistic demeanor that has marked his bearing voice since he was first taken to the tower. Page 24, column 4. Hawthorne ready to leave prison. Author, unembittered, expected to write about injustices of U.S. penal system. Julian Hawthorne is preparing to leave the Atlanta Federal Prison October 15th, the date of the expiration of his sentence with good time deducted. Hawthorne, whose attitude since his incarceration has generally been one of reserve and reticence, desires to go from the prison without any notice or publicity, and for this reason, the prison officials are maintaining the utmost secrecy as to the exact time of the day that he will leave the grim building which has held him nearly a year. The distinguished author is said not to have been embittered in the least by his experience inside prison walls. He has, however, given deep thought to some of the injustices of America's penal system, and it is expected that much of his writing of the future will be colored by the impressions and the conclusions formed during the period of his imprisonment. He naturally was cast down for a time when the recommendation for his parole was turned down by Attorney General McReynolds, but of late he has been particularly happy and cheerful in the prospect of his early return to freedom. He has been permitted to walk about the prison enclosure as many hours as the prison regulations allow, and he will go forth next Wednesday in unusually good health,